Pastor Ron on today. We're going to be reading from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It's a classic for many of us, one of our favorites. If you want to stand, we'll go ahead and read. Oh, I'm so impressed. You got it up on the board. Thank you, Maggie. Here we are in chapter 12, book of Romans, verse 1. This is a proof that I am a real reader. I got my Bible out. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And you do not conform to this world, but be transitioned by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Thank you, Lord. Let's be seated. Ron, it's all yours.
All right, so Bruce, I really appreciate you. So there we go. So just for kind of bringing attention to that's one of those verses that's a favorite of a lot of people. I have met a lot of different people where, you know, Romans 12:2 is maybe it's their life verse, or it's one of those verses that they've really wrestled with over a period of time and just tried to really get to the bottom of what is it that God is really trying to bring and reveal to them during that. And it's a verse that I know has really had great impact in people's life. So I really enjoy the verse, and I'm glad that, like Bruce had brought it up there, that a lot of people have really had this verse resonate with them over the years. So for me, though, I want to kind of take a little different approach, see if we can get this working here today. It might be a little too far back. But yes, so there we go. So try to get this. I just kind of want to take a little bit of a different approach with this verse today and really start to focus on just maybe a section or maybe a word or two that people can kind of overlook in the beginning of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 there. And that word is where it starts out. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. Now, there's a lot of different ways in some different versions that come out. My version says appeal. We just saw a little bit earlier. It says, I urge you, brothers. I think King James is what he was reading out there where it says, I beseech you there, brethren, by the mercies of God. Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. But anyways, this idea of this appeal, this calling, I'm urging you, I'm adamant. It's coming from Paul, and he's saying, I'm asking you to do something, and it's by the mercies of God. And I really just want to kind of start to focus on this about what is this appeal and what is it that Paul is making this appeal by. I think it's so interesting that Paul, though he is the spiritual father that you would say over the church there at Rome, the thing that he is actually making this appeal by, it's not by his authority, it's not because of his personhood of who he is. He's making this appeal, it's actually by the mercies of God. So he's kind of asking for people to kind of look back, reflect on the mercies that God has had in their life. And it's by those mercies that God is making, or that Paul is making this appeal for people to present their bodies as a living sacrifice, which by no means is an easy ask of anybody. When you think of what it means to be a living sacrifice, something that is willfully walking into a slaughter. That's a tough ask to have from somebody. But Paul is making this appeal, this ask, I'm beseeching, I'm urging you, brothers, by nothing less than the mercies of God to present yourself a living sacrifice. So I want to go ahead and share a quick video with you. Let's see if we can jump over. My clicker's just not quite working this far away today. See if we can pull up a short video to show to you guys, and then we'll continue from there.
Open up the meat drawer. You know what the meat drawer is, right?
Yeah. What was in there?
Well, I'll tell you what was in there. You know that bacon that's like maple? It's got maple flavor.
The maple kind, yeah.
Yeah, so
yeah.
I took that out, and I thought,
yeah,
I know who would like that. Me, so I ate it.
Oh! You kidding me?
Nope. Not kidding. You know, I also noticed there was some beef in there. Yeah, you know, steak, you know, juicy. Well, I ate that, too. But I went back to the fridge just a few minutes ago, and I put something together really special. You're going to love this one. I took some chicken.
Yeah.
I put some cheese on it, and I covered it with...
Covered it with what?
I covered it with cat treats.
Yeah.
Then guess what?
What?
I gave it to the cat.
All right, so talking dog videos. So for me, this video kind of has a really special place in my heart. I don't know, the first time I saw it, I was just like, you know, I really don't like it. I don't get what is so significant or so good about this weird dog tortured by giving its food away video. I'm like, why? What's so special about this video? But I used to have a friend that every time he would see this video, and it didn't matter if he saw it one time, it didn't matter if he saw it 100 times, it didn't matter if he saw it back to back, he'd always kind of have like the same exact reaction. His mouth would kind of fall open. He'd lean back. He'd kind of just start doing this like silent laugh to the point where tears would just start rolling down his face. And every time that video came on, it never amazed me just how he could always have such joy from this one video over and over and over again. It didn't matter how many times he watched it. And it just kind of reminds me, like, it always reminds me of how healing a real good laugh can be. And for me specifically, this guy, his name was Bill. He'd always watch his video, and it would just do so much for him. He would just be so encouraged. He'd just have so much joy, and he'd really just understood that even in this video, there was just a little bit of a mercy that God was giving him to be able to have a laugh this day. So my friend Bill, he was a real close friend of mine, but Bill had something called ALS. So ALS, I don't know if you guys might know it better, is Lou Gehrig's disease. But Lou Gehrig's disease, or ALS, is one of the most debilitating diseases that we know of. What happens is slowly over a course of time, your body's muscles start to shut down until slowly but surely you become trapped inside of your own body. And it's not like it affects your mind, so mentally you don't know what's going on there. With ALS, you're perfectly cognitively functional. You know exactly what's going on. It's just slowly but surely your body's muscles start to shut down until the point where you get trapped inside of you're kind of trapped over inside of your own body. And you just really cannot physically interact with the world anymore. So Bill, I used to take care of Bill, and me and Bill, we used to have this really neat relationship, because I'd come in and I'd start to take care of him over the course of his last year and a half of his life, and we'd just have these moments where we'd be sharing different things, and inevitably things would start to get hard, because at the end stages of ALS, Bill couldn't just talk to me. He couldn't communicate like a normal person would communicate. What he had to do is he could only look up and he could only look down. So anytime we wanted to communicate anything, he had a young 10-year-old daughter, and he was always trying to get things in place for her future so that when he inevitably passed on, which he knew was going to happen, that things would be in order, his house would be in order for his daughter. And every day we'd go in and we'd start to work on stuff like that. But inevitably, I'd just start to get really, really frustrated. He'd start to get really, really frustrated. Because the only way that we had to communicate is I'd literally have to look at him and start to go through the letters of the alphabet. Does it start with A? Does it start with B? Does it start with C? He'd either look up if it was yes, down if it was a no, and we would literally spend hours and hours writing out what he was trying to communicate for his care and for the future of his daughter. So we would spend hours and hours of doing that. And eventually, we would just both get to a point where we're tired, we're frustrated, we're sick of trying to communicate and it being such a struggle. And then I'd get to the point where I was finally just about to break, and Bill would just give me this look, and he'd be like, "Ron, put on that dog video." And so I'd run and I'd pull up that dog video, and Bill would laugh like he had never seen it before. He'd laugh like it was the first time, and all of a sudden I would be refreshed. I'd be sitting there just amazed, like, "Bill, I don't know how we were just at each other's throats a second ago, and now we're just laughing at this dog video.
We're having such a good time. It's a new day. I felt refreshed. We were ready to start the process all over again. It's all because Bill had such a good understanding that if there was a moment in this life where I could have a good laugh, and that's a little bit of mercy that God's showing me, then I'm going to take full advantage of it, and I'm going to live in that mercy of God. Bill loved this video, and I know that he loved it so much because Bill lived a life, especially when things would get so tired, or he'd end up going over to the doctors, and doctors were always like, "Bill, you're a good man. I know you're tired of fighting, but if this is time for you to go to move on, and you just want us to quit doing what we're doing for you," Bill would always be like, "Know what? I know I'm going to pass away. I know I'm going to be with the Lord when I do it, but it's by God's mercy that I'm living today. And if God has literally kept me of all people alive another day, I know there's because there's something that God wants me to do. I know that there's still something that God will use in my life." And I can tell you, out of all the people, when I think back and I reflect on Bill, this man who was trapped with unable to use his hands or unable to use his arms, but God used him in such special ways that even today, that's why I'm up here talking about Bill, because he's had such a great impact in my life. Because he understood very clearly that whatever it is, every time that God has given you some kind of mercy in your life, there's always like a calling that goes alongside of it. Even if it was something as simple as this dog video, if that area of mercy, it's something that I could share and get a laugh with my friend or my brother or someone else. And Bill got that so clearly. He had such a unique perspective on the hardships and the things that were going on in his life. I always think about Bill and just how he approached life and how he had this different perspective that though he was struggling in all these different ways with these physical ailments, he knew clearly that God was blessing him and that God was still using him in his life. And I always say that's because Bill had this very good perspective, because he didn't look at life through the lens of his suffering all the time. Of woe is me and things are so hard for me and that I'm going through. He never looked at life through that lens. The lens that he always looked through life was what is it that God is trying to do and accomplish in my life? He always kept that perspective at the forefront of his mind of what was going through. And I respect Bill so much for that. I always love Bill so much for that, for keeping that perspective right in front of him. As I like to call it, Bill always had these God-shaped goggles on. Bill had always asked for God goggles that he could clearly see what it was that God was doing in his life. And I think this is very similar as to what's going on and with Paul right before we get to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. So when we get there and we see what's happening with Paul there in Romans, it's kind of a similar situation. And a situation where we think Paul should be really heartbroken because his fellow brothers, his Jewish people, are not following Jesus. They're not accepting the testimony of these other brothers and sisters in Christ of who Jesus is. Instead, they're going through this process of rejecting God or even being antagonistic towards Christ and the gospel. And where Paul would say, "This is awful. This is something that is horrible that's going on." It actually ends up at the end of Romans chapter 11, after he kind of expounds a little bit on how the response of the Jewish people are to the gospel, and something that seems like it should be so devastating and something that should be so negative. Chapter 11 actually ends in a praise. It says, Paul says, "Oh, the depths of the riches of both the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given him and shall be repaid to him? For him, through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." So chapter 11 ends with Paul praising God during a circumstance that does not look very beneficial. Because what Paul is looking at, he's not looking at it through the lens of his own personal being. He's looking at it as, how is this possibility, these Jewish people rejecting God, how is this actually benefiting the kingdom of God? And how is, if I'm putting on my God goggles when I'm looking at it, this situation, how is this actually beneficial for the people here at Rome that I'm speaking to? And when Paul looked at it and he had that perspective, he could see clearly, like, God is doing great things. And that's what I love so much about Bill there. And I think this is what we say. It says, do not be, so this is how it kind of gets to, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. All that means is I'm putting on my God goggles. I'm renewing my mind. I'm not thinking about what this perspective might be if it's just me in my own little bubble thinking about things. I'm trying to look at it through the lens of what God might actually be doing, how God might actually be affecting the circumstances and situations that are going on. I always say, like, that's such a big relief. Areas that seem like there's only negativity that can come out of it. There's nothing good that can possibly come out of a situation like Bill, like the doctors coming at Bill and saying, you have ALS, you're dying the slow death where you're trapped inside your body. There's nothing possibly good that can come out of that. Bill was on the total opposite, saying, no, I know God is doing something in my life, and I'm just going to open up and be willing to let him use me. I always say it's one of the most compelling things in my life is, like, if I could see the number of people that Bill brought to Christ with no arms and no legs, it just makes me feel like, God, I know I need to be that much more faithful. If I am just faithful to you, Lord, and putting my trust in you, Lord, I know that you can do so much with me. Don't allow me to look at all these different circumstances through my own lenses of just hardship and things. Let me look at it through your lenses, God, and see clearly what is it that you're trying to do in our lives. I think that's such a beautiful question to ask. What is it that you're trying to do in our life? Not just as individuals, but as a church, as a congregation, as believers in the body of Christ in the same area. God, I don't want to look out at the situations and the struggles that are going on in my community and just say it's hopeless. Nothing good will ever come out of that area. I want to be able to look at it through God goggles, where God says, you know what? It might look like a dire situation, but see it how I see it. Know that I am doing something in this area. And if you are just faithful, if you just let me be God in your life, I promise that you'll have a greater impact in that area that looked dead, than you ever expected possible at all. The power of God in those situations. Another thing that I always just look at, like when we see these areas that we think are so negative, and this is probably one of the biggest learns that I got from Bill, was he always kind of looked at himself and he saw himself in a way, the story of the Good Samaritan. Does everybody kind of remember that story of the Good Samaritan? You have this person who's injured and he's broken down on the road. He's been robbed and beat and he's kind of left there for dead. And you have these holy people. You have Levites and priests that are going by them. And people that you think called by God should interact with him and save him and be a help to him. Instead, they say, he's too far gone. I'm walking away. I'm just getting away from this situation. I don't want to defile myself by it anyways. There's nothing good that's going to come by me stopping out here and helping him in this situation anyways. So there's this person that's injured on the road, and the Levite goes around him, his brother goes around him, the priest goes around him, doesn't interact with him, and all the while, this person is here laying and dying, and then finally there's a Samaritan that comes along, and he has compassion on him, and says, know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bandage this person out, I'm going to take him to an inn and leave him where he can be healed. And all the time, people think about, well, who's the most important person in that story when we think about it? Is it the Samaritan because he goes and he helps the person? Is it the Levite because they walk around, or the priest because he keeps his hands clean in some kind of way? But who's the most important person in that entire story? You know what Bill told me? Bill's like, the most important person And that story is the person that got hit and beat up and robbed and was left there for dead. That's the most important story person in the story of the Good Samaritan. And the reason that that person is the most important is because he's the one that reveals the character of every other person that comes into the story. He reveals the character of the Levite. He reveals the character of the priest. He reveals the character of the Samaritan. How does God use those people like that? How does God use circumstances and situations to shape and build and reveal character in our lives? I always think that's so impactful, and Bill was so clear on this. He understood it's actually, that's what, if anything, if I'm in this position and I can even just help reveal to people their character in some kind of way to know how much they need God, then God use me in that way. By all means, God, I'm asking you to do that. And again, like I said, I just loved and respected Bill for so much to that. So when we think about it, and kind of think about the closing, what does it really mean to have on these God-shaped goggles? What does it really mean to live your life, to present your body as a living sacrifice? How do you get to that point where you're saying, yes, I'm going to present myself, my body, a living sacrifice. I'm not going to be conformed by this world, but I'm going to put on these God goggles, and I'm going to look at the world through the lens of God to really see what is actually happening, not in my own reality that I build or the way that I want to make things think that they're happening, but what's actually going on by the hand of the God who rules and ordains the universe. What is actually going on there? How do we get to that point where we actually decide that we are going to be a living sacrifice to God? And this is what it kind of goes back to right there. It is actually the mercies of God that lead us to repentance and life change. I was saying, it's actually the mercies of God. And I kind of left it blank there because there's a couple different places, a couple different things I think you could put in there. I copy it from Romans 2:4. It says, or do you not presume that it's the riches or the kindness and the forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? Maybe it's God's kindness. Maybe it's his mercy. Maybe it's just his favor that you've seen that he's had upon his life. But these are the things that actually bring you into that closer relationship or understanding of who God is. I was that person that was never afraid of hell. Though it's terrifying, I was never afraid of hell. It was nothing that ever really scared me into wanting to have a relationship with God. That was never it for me. I was just never in any kind of way really intimidated by that thought much. I just never really thought much about it. So when I started thinking about God and who he was, it was actually like I just started to read a little bit in the Bible in a couple places, and I saw how much God actually loved me. I saw how that my life, I could look into it, and I know things weren't right. Things were not put together well in my life. I knew I was struggling with sin. I knew there were those areas, and then I started to read where it says, well, God knew while I was yet a sinner, he still loved me and died for me. While I was in my sin and in my trespass, I understood that God died to give me mercy. That if I could put my faith and my trust in him, that was just God's mercy to me. And it was because of that mercy that I began to feel and I began to taste that I understood, like, that mercy that God has put in my life from his sacrifice, from his son, it's actually calling me to something. And it's calling me to get closer to God, to understand the sacrifice, the blood that he spilt for me. And I got closer to him, not because I was afraid of hell or anything, but it was because I knew how great of a mercy God had in my life, how kind, how patient, while I was yet a sinner, how much he loved me, and that just made me want to get closer. That's what made me understand, like, God, I'm ashamed of who I've been. It wasn't because I was afraid of anything. It's because I saw God's love. I felt him. I felt his mercy. And I could feel the call of that mercy upon my life. And that mercy was calling me into that relationship with Jesus. So when people ask, like Ron, how is it that you stop these habits of sinning and things in your life? How is it that you do this? How is it that we believers turn away from sin and start to walk the other way? It's not because I'm afraid usually. It's because I see the mercy of God. It's because we see his kindness. It's because we see the love that he has for us. That's what actually brings us into repentance and life change. I repent because I'm called, I've been beseeched, I have been urged, I'm being appealed to by God, by the mercies of God, to present myself a living sacrifice. That's where the urge is. That's where the beseech, and this is where Paul is beginning his call. At the very beginning, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 right there. Out of praise, he's saying, I am calling you, I am asking you, I am beseeching you to reflect and look at the goodness, the mercies, the kindness of God, and this is what will allow you to walk and enter into a closer relationship with Jesus, where all you want to do is present yourself a living sacrifice, be someone who is willingly to walk into a slaughter because you see somebody who walked into a slaughter for you. Jesus. So guys, that's what just kind of want to close again on that thought today. Just thinking about the mercies of God, how they call us to be closer in our walk with Jesus. Maybe some of us, this is our first time that you've really sat down and you've begun to reflect on what it is that Jesus really did. How it is that he died and suffered for our sin. That we can actually It's that mercy that he has given to us that is actually calling us into a relationship. Every mercy has a calling. Bill got it so clearly. God, if I'm alive today, I know it's because there's a calling upon my life. We get it. If we're here, we're at church today, I'm hearing for the first time maybe who it is and what Jesus did, there's a calling that comes along with that. Come to the altar. Be with Jesus. Closer to where I am. It's all God is asking. That mercy, that blood that was spilled, that's the call that Jesus has upon us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your kindness, for your love, for your great mercy. And Lord, we just don't want to let that call go over our head. We just don't want to forget about it. We just want to be reminded and clearly know and see, God, how it is that you've called us upon your life, how your mercy, how your love, how your sacrifice calls out to us, Lord, to enter into that relationship with you, to be closer to you, to walk hand by hand, day by day, moment by moment with you, Jesus. So, Father, we thank you so much for your great kindness, for your great mercy, for the sacrifice of your spilt blood that you have shed for us, Jesus. We love you so much, and we thank you so much for that calling that mercy has upon our life. We pray this all in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.